Regular podcast listeners will know that I'm in this play called In the Garden, a Darwinian love story at Looking Glass Theater. Have been all spring. Fantastic. Been a great experience. And it's not a serious drama about the issues of creation and evolution. It's a romantic comedy about Charles Darwin, which I think is a fantastic and fun idea, and I think audiences seem to be agreeing. One of the things that makes it so interesting is that Charles is in love with his first cousin and then wife, Emma Darwin, and they have a long, lovely, lasting relationship, despite the fact that, or maybe because of the fact, that she is quite religious, believes in salvation and creation, and he is Charles Darwin. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 394, Characters of Faith. The character of Emma Darwin is a character you don't see often in the media. She is a well-rounded, quite religious character of faith who retains curiosity and wonder and is not portrayed as a bully or an ignorant person or a scold or a zealot. She's just a person and this is a long way around to introducing the woman who plays Emma, Rebecca Spence, who embodies her with all of those characteristics, wonder, humor, curiosity. How is it for you playing this character?
Well, it's been a gift. It's been a treat to play all of the things that you've just mentioned, to be able to give a rather refreshing new view of people with faith that sadly are never represented really anymore. Yeah. You don't see that, and as it's we've become sort of lazy, I think, in depicting all kinds of stereotypes, and particularly in marriage there's always
one's the dreamer, one's the scold.
Exactly. Yeah. One's the dreamer, one's the scold, or one's the slob, and one is the constant nag. These sort of stereotypical relationships have been just used and reused, and more true to life characters are largely underrepresented of people in real relationships, which exist all the time. So getting to do that on stage for the last couple of months has been, and to do it with integrity and intelligence and humor and lightness, it has been fantastic. Well, it's been great. I love it.
Well, and I am not a person of faith, but I believe in the power of stories. And for me, the theater is my temple.
Which I think is a form of faith. I'm constantly baffled by people in our particular industry in the theater that have that say they have no concept of faith, which to me is kind of ridiculous, because theater is that. It is a sacred space. It's a sacred space that you come in, and there are traditions that you follow. You show up and you do the motions because you believe in the story, and whether or not it's being received well or not, you still tell the story. Kind of like a sacrament in a way. That you show up and you treat the space with reverence and with respect. There's a congregation, there is a story that's being told, there's a response, and even when you don't feel it, you still go.
Yeah. You do it
anyway, using your technique or whatever.
Yeah. Even when you're like, I don't think I believe this today.
Well, yeah.
I don't believe in this. I don't believe what I'm saying, or I would so much rather be somewhere else. There is a faith, if you will, that I'll get there. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll get there today. Hopefully I will. Hopefully the story will be served in a way that moves somebody else or moves me. Mm-hmm. And that's a faithful process.
And I think there's communion with the audience.
Exactly.
Because if we do it just by ourselves, it's theater. If you do it with an audience, I think that it then becomes art. it's that communication yeah. between
and church is theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's absolutely theater. Yeah. It is.
You know. It's people coming together. I mean, people say I go to church for the community of it. I work in the theater for the community of it. You know,
exactly.
People go to ball games for the community of it. Exactly. You know, and I think all of those things are important, and that's why it's refreshing to be in this play to hear. First of all, you and Andy White, who plays Charles Darwin, are adorable together. But the characters, as written by Sarah Gamitter and directed by Jessica Thebus, are interesting because they're making it work. And I go back to my romantic comedy analogy, which is that, you know, the big problem in a romantic comedy is always how do you keep the lovers apart, you know, until they can come together. But in this case, it's a romantic comedy about how do you keep these lovers together despite their different beliefs. Or let me ask you this.
Okay.
Are their beliefs that different?
I think the thing that ties them together is that they have an insatiable curiosity and sense of wonder.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful force when you have...
And it's active and it's dramatic.
It's active and it's dramatic. Yeah. And I think there is a respect level between the two of them in that curiosity and in that endeavor of wonder. Those two paths are not... parallel in a way that his is the wonder is I need to know the answer and I need to know the why.
Right.
And her wonder is I don't need to know the why. The mystery of it is magnificent.
Yeah.
And isn't it wonderful that we get to experience all of this and I don't have to know the reasons why. The burden of proof isn't that essential in the journey. The faith aspect of it is kind of the magical piece for her, and him finding the intricate details and the answers is the magical mystery, and I think they're fascinated by one another.
Yeah.
The love that they have for one another to continue to keep reaching out to one another to say, I hear you, I see you, I'm trying to understand you. And I will fight till my dying breath to continue to do that.
Well, and they had he had faith in his science and what he could prove. She had faith in God, but I think they had faith in each other.
I agree. There are letters to one another, and the correspondence between the two of them is just unbelievable. Really, the way they spoke to each other was with such respect and consideration. They were always in consideration of each other. There was, you know, letters that they found of his that said, to my dying breath, I will always consider your side. Even though it doesn't ring true to me, out of love and respect for you, and I might be wrong.
There's that grace note of humility. I might be wrong.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't honestly know, and I'll keep speaking my truth to you, and I encourage you to speak your truth to me.
Hi, I'm Brian Dennehy, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? You can see us in the UK for one more week until June 28th, performing the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, Revised. And then in August, we are so excited, we will return to the Pleasance at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, performing the European premiere of the complete history of comedy, Abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. So we're recording this on a Sunday, and the show will start in an hour, and you are wearing your pretty church dress because you went to church this morning. And
I did.
And you come from a church-going background. Your father was a minister. Is that right? Did I have that
yes,
right?
Yes, my father was an Episcopal priest.
Okay. And did you have a period, you're a churchgoer now, did you have a period where you weren't, where you rebelled against your father's work?
Absolutely. I did not want to go to church this morning. It took every ounce of...
But why did you go? Particularly since you were performing in a church, in a temple this afternoon.
I I kind of view going to church like going to the gym. You don't, you know, you don't want to go.
It's you want to exercise those spiritual muscles.
You don't want to go. And then once you get there, you're like, oh, I'm so glad I came.
You felt a rush of spiritual endorphins.
I did. Well, interestingly enough, I saw a lot of people that had seen the play.
Oh.
And who wanted to talk about it. And who were really excited about it. And I wouldn't have seen them if I hadn't gone. I myself am trying to keep myself open. But yes, I did grow up, I grew up with an Episcopal priest for a father who did not join the ministry until he was in his 40s. He had a change of career, a change of life plan, after having three daughters and...
All of them hellraisers, I suspect.
No, that was pretty much just me. I rebelled. They went to seminary at 39, 40, and then we moved. We moved every 3 years of my life and were a part of a church community and in every kind of environment, urban, suburban, rural. It was a fact. I think that has a lot to do with why I'm an actor, truly. Being in so many different environments and being fascinated by geography and the sociology of said geography and and the different personalities and the different social structures that are created particularly within a congregation. And that was very fascinating to me to have such a varied environment. Growing up.
Ever-changing. Yeah.
Ever-changing.
Yeah. You and your family are based here in Chicago now. Has this been a good place for you, Chicago as a theater city, as a church community, as a place to be professionally for you?
This has been, for me, for my family, the best place. My husband's not he's not an actor, and he has a wonderful job here. I love being in an urban environment, the culture, and it's not as expensive as New York or Los Angeles. I can have my family and I am able to send my daughter to a good school. And I love Chicago. I think it is a fascinating city. I like the opportunities. I love the fact that we have a marvelous public transportation system. I love the architecture. I love the history of the city itself. It's good for me as an actor because it's not the only thing I do. I mean, it's the thing I love to do the most, but it doesn't define. I am not in a constant state of being panicked about finding the next thing. I'm very happy being a medium-sized fish in a medium-sized pond. I like that. There's so much talent here. It's ridiculous.
And that's what's most interesting about this play, is that Emma Darwin is a character you don't see, played by an actress you don't see enough. That's my point.
That's lovely.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your characters of faith via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You could also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, character of face Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Nikki J. Robinson. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Brian Dennehy, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 394 1180 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I feel this way. I can't change the way I feel. I'm seeing that you probably can't change the way you feel either, but I still want to be in your presence, and I still want to be with you and to be awed by your wonder. And
I like that expression, awed by your wonder. You spelling that A-W-E-D or O-D-D? Awed by your wonder. I'm awed.
Oh, I like that too.
I'm awed in your wonder.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.